Hello and welcome to a Pint of Cthulhu Behind the Bar. Myself and Jay today, and we are actually accompanied by the absolutely amazing Jason. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Hello everybody, my name's Jason Weeb, and I'm the Dungeon Plunger.
I absolutely love that name. That's generally a funny name, and yet it makes sense, because you are a real-life janitor, are you not?
That is a fact. Unfortunately, I decided to own it. I was like, listen, life, I didn't want my job to be the thing that I like identified myself by. And I felt like, hey, if I just put it out there, like, I'm just a regular dude, you know, other people can be like, hey, that's cool. Whatever I do doesn't make me who I am.
And yeah, it gave you an awesome, epic podcast name.
Yeah, I was shooting for something that combined sort of like Dungeons and Dragons with something else so that people would kind of be like, it would be catchy, easy to remember, but also I felt like the biggest audience would be people who play D&D, even though I haven't actually played like real D&D in like 5th edition or otherwise in a really long time. Ooh. But yeah, I felt like when people think about gaming for the first time, you're like, oh yeah, I'm a role player. They're like, what are you talking about? I'm like, you know, Dungeons and Dragons. And they're like, oh yeah, okay, Dungeons and Dragons. So I felt like that was a good, yeah. It's like Kleenex.
Jay, would you like to ask the very first question?
Yep, same as always. So if Pint of Cthulhu was a drink, what kind of drink do you think it'd be?
Okay, so I was prepared for this. I listened to a few of your episodes, and I was like, that is such a great question. my gut, but the first time, the first thought that came into my mind when I heard you guys asking somebody else that, I was thinking, like, space mead. I was like, oh, you guys are like a Cthulhu podcast. Space mead feels like something that, you know, would be very Cthulhu-esque. But then, as I listened to more of your show, I was like, oh, man, that's kind of, like, maybe not so good. Then I started thinking about like maybe like deep one semen or yeah. And I was like, I mean, I'm not going to drink it, but I mean, tentacles and hentai and all that weird. So.
Oh God, Jay, how are you going to drink that?
Well, I don't think I can just pull Cthulhu and get him to wank off into a cup. So we'll have to see.
I feel like that's major sanity loss. It's like one thing to see Cthulhu. It's another thing to see Cthulhu wanking in a cup. I know that you guys apparently are getting together.
We are.
Do not make this drink. All right?
No. I have no intentions of doing that.
Summoning Cthulhu in the holiday home.
Yeah.
I mean, that might be fun.
I mean, the bonds of friendship only go so far, you know?
Yeah, there's a line. There's a definite line there.
No tentacles.
Sorry. Oh, God. I feel like I brought your podcast down. You're like, why did we let this guy on?
Oh, no.
I fucking love it. Well, I would say tell us about yourself, but you kind of already answered some of that. But is there anything else you'd like to tell us about yourself at all?
So, I'm just a regular dude. I really love role playing, and so I love talking. So I was like, okay, how do I combine those two things into one? And so that was why I started the podcast. Now I run like three face to face games a week. I do an online game every 2 weeks, and then I do play by post that we do like as it kind of comes up. So a little bit of role playing every day. I started getting into some solo role playing, so you can also see that on my channel. So I started with Shadow Dark, and eventually I'm going to branch out into some other systems and do that kind of stuff. I feel like the solo role playing is really it's fascinating to see how like our hobby is changing. I remember when I first heard about solo role playing, I was kind of like, oh, that's pretty sad that you gotta play by yourself. And then eventually, I don't know, it's come into its own. And I feel like the possibilities of what you can do on your own versus what you do in a group is, it's different, and it hits a different spot than gaming in a group. So it's something that I gave myself a goal for this year to explore a little bit more.
We need to get you talking to Kimber. She's our soloist. She'll okay. talk your ear off for days about some really good recommendations.
Nice. It's funny, I was playing Magic last night, so that's the other thing I do. I play Magic the Gathering, like Commander format, once a week. So, like, my life is full of gaming these days. And so I was sitting around the table, we're playing cards, and this guy's like, oh, you have a podcast? And I'm like, yeah, I got a podcast, and I do solo. I play with, you know, play D&D with myself. And he's like, oh, he's like, that was information I didn't need to know. It's like, that's hard to explain to people. I'm like, yep, I feel you, man.
Yeah, I mean, saying it as if you're playing by yourself, that's, or playing with yourself.
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh dear, that's just asking for trouble.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Jay, next question.
So what are your favorite TTRPGs, or what ones have you played?
So, my favorite RPGs, TTRPGs... I always feel like TTRPGs is, like, weird to say. Because I feel like they were there first. Why do we gotta give ours, like, the tabletop, you know, thing? But anyway, that's sidetrack. So, Call of Cthulhu would definitely be one of my favorites. I'm getting ready to be doing Masks of Nyarlathotep 7th edition very soon. Another one of my super favorite ones, I've been doing Stars Without Numbers. And that game's been going on for a little over a year now. I really enjoy the combination of, like, the D&D, like, old-school D&D kind of mixed with Traveler. The 2D6 style of gaming. And what else? Pretty much most of the stuff that Kevin Crawford has done. Like, so I did a little bit of Cities Without Numbers earlier, too, which was, like, a cyberpunk version of that. Let me take a look at my bookshelf here.
I am envious of that bookshelf. So envious.
Thank you. So, when I got back into the hobby, like, so 5th edition was sort of what I played for quite a bit of time, and then I got kind of burnt out and frustrated with the system, so I moved on to other stuff. But what really got me onto my career as a gamer was D&D 3rd edition. And so that and Pathfinder will always have, like, a special place in my heart, even though I haven't played it in forever. And I would love to get back into that, so.
I don't know, perhaps we can help each other out with that at some point.
Sweet.
So, what are some of the memorable... I mean, we know we've only just kind of really started in the podcasting world, but have you got any, like, memorable or funny moments so far?
Okay, so this is the best story that I have so far. I'm hoping that I'm going to get more things like this that have happened. But so my show, you can call in. I have a thing called SpeakPipe. You call in, you leave a message, and I listen to your message. I'll play it if you want me to, and I try to respond to what people say. And so I got a message from somebody. I have no idea who this person is. I have no idea, but they basically made a character called the Cloggin Goblin and did a voice for it and everything, and it was freaking hilarious. I was so floored that somebody would call in, and nobody's taken credit for it. It's like a terrorist attack that's happened, and nobody would... You'd think that somebody would be like, dude, that was me, man, I did that. But no, and so I have one of my friends, because we were like, okay, how do we get more people to come and listen to the show? So he made up Hector, the real Dungeon Plunger, and we had done that. And I'm not sure if that's what inspired this original caller to do this kind of little skit thing. So then I called my friend and I was like, dude, we need Hector to respond to the Cloggin Goblin. And so he added a new character named Xandor, the supervisor. So at some point, I expect Xander, the supervisor, is going to show up on the show. But just this, like, sort of little mythology that's starting to, like, develop, to me, is fantastic. And I just love the fact that the show is sort of developing its own character. So I couldn't have asked for somebody to do something better for me. So whoever you are out there, if you happen to be listening to this, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, that sounds sick, man.
I can't wait to hear that when that comes out.
I think for us, we haven't had that kind of thing happen, but we've had stuff that's repeated that's been so fun, like the Dill Dominator showing up with a few other things that have just...
God would love Dill Dominator! For your pleasure.
Oh, God. No. That thing was so evil.
That's fantastic.
I've got to ask quickly, how did you find that speak pipe thing? Because that, I'd never heard of that before.
Okay, so my sort of entry into podcasting came from my friend Shay Webster. He's based out of Nottingham. And so I started listening to his podcast called Roleplay Rescue. And I didn't know who this guy was when I first started listening to it, but he's a fantastic podcaster. And I listened to him religiously. I joined his Discord. I joined his Patreon. And one day he was like, hey, dude, do you want to, like, you know, do an interview? And I was like, yeah, sure. And he was like, oh, I had so many people who were listening who really loved, you know, hearing us chat. He's like, you know, you should give this thing a shot on your own. And anyway, I'm getting off topic here, but his show has SpeakPipe. He was the one that found it. And so I call into his show all the time, and other people call in. And I felt like this was such a great opportunity to connect with the community, but also provide, like, content that I could talk about. Because I don't have a co-host. I would love to have a co-host. I would love to have somebody who shares my sort of philosophy on gaming, or maybe even not even share it, but, like, just to, like, have that tension where it's like, listen, we can, you know, have it out and sort of talk about, because I think there's so many different ways to be a good game master, right? There's the style that works for you. And, you know, the things that I say aren't necessarily the things that are going to make you a good game master. They're just ideas there for you to try out at your table. And if they work, great. And if they don't, I'm sorry. I'm sorry you had a shitty game because of me. But yeah. Yeah. So it's like, to me, it's like having a co-host without having a co-host.
Sounds good.
It works.
So yeah, solo role playing and solo podcasting to myself.
So what are the best and worst parts of running a podcast?
So the best part is definitely things like this that come up, where I've had people ask for me to be on their show and have an interview. And especially, like, in this case, because this was a real surprise. Like, a lot of the people who I've been on their shows have been other people within the sort of small community. They call themselves the Anchorites. And so I love having the community that's sort of built around a bunch of podcasters who listen to each other's shows, who call into each other. I love communicating with my new listeners who have written in and called in. And so I think that's the big thing, is like this growing community that's developing around the podcast, which was not something that I had planned for or expected, but something that I definitely want to, like, capitalize on and make more connections with people. I think it's so fascinating that, you know, we can talk to each other from across the world, and, you know, we have this connection that is gaming, you know. Probably the shitty thing about podcasting is like all the freaking editing. I hate that part. I hate having to. I say so and
yeah,
a lot.
Yeah.
And every time I have to go through editing this shit, and I'm like, dude, you suck at talking. Like, how do people even listen to you? There's another one. I say like. So I feel sorry for whoever's editing this afterwards. I apologize deeply. I hope you can find it in your heart to forgive me. And but yeah, the editing blows.
Oh, don't worry. Matt's had to forgive much worse.
We've lost entire episodes. We've
had someone loudly mouse clicking, playing cookie clicker the entire time.
Oh, people eating. I mean, you know, we've got the nugget. So the nugget is a small PC about yeah, big. Yeah, it's a box, a little tiny box. It's a desktop, little yeah. I've had to go through and try and pick out one person's voice out of, I think the most was 10 people. Try and pick just their voice out, cut it all out, and then stitch it back in, which probably took about a week. Because I was just so pissed off doing it. I just went, don't want to do it.
Back in season one, I have terminal ADHD, by the way, so bad. I used to do two things, and Matt had no idea why the audio was getting fucked. I used to get up and... I had a really long headphone cord, so I used to get up and pace, so my voice would be getting louder, quieter for the episode. And I have a drawing tablet, so he kept hearing the scratching noise at random through, because I'd be drawing like little pictures of what we were doing in the game, and he couldn't figure out for the life of him what the scratching was. It was driving him mad until he caught me one day and just
yeah, we had a camera on it. That stop it.
but that I can understand how that would be frustrating, but the fact that you draw while you play is amazing. So in one of my groups, I have a bunch of people who are very like artistically inclined, and they sit at the table and they've got their notebooks. And so during their little, I guess, whatever that is, that negative space where they're not really doing, but they're listening at the same time. And then like, I'll look over and I'll see their notebook and I'm like, holy shit. I'm like, that you got that from like listening to us, you know, chit chat and do all this stuff. I'm like, this is fantastic, man. Like, I would love to show this kind of stuff more. I wish that there was a way for me to be able to like share more of the visual side of what happens in my gaming group sometimes, because to me that's a gem right there when you see that. I think now that I have Blue Sky, I could probably like share it a little easier. But you know, before that, I didn't have any way of really sharing stuff. So
I mean, for us, we have so we use Roll 20, so once one person starts drawing dicks on the map, someone else is going to join in inevitably. But we have a little art channel, and I think Flower's been posting top tier doodles of the characters and stuff.
Nice.
In their recurring campaign.
It's nice to know that other people do the dick drawings on the map, because I've had that experience too. And I thought it was just us.
No.
I'm trying to find
I think one. It was... Oh, you're trying to find the screenshots of... see if you can find the one from the cheese rat thing we did. I think it was Fallout, where we kept drawing hidden dicks in the, like, shopping center map, in, like, the shelves and stuff. Driving cab mad.
That's so hilarious. Good.
I used to help him... help him GM with that. I just used to help, like, put things in and keep tracker tokens, so I had access to all the maps, and I used to go like two or three maps ahead and just draw just a giant detailed dick. And when everyone got to it, that was it. It was just cracking up with laughter. It's just the simplest, stupidest things, but it was simple fun. The rest of the
night. It's a classic. It's a classic, and we do draw like actual things from the the game sometimes.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, awesome. Back to your show.
Yes. No, this should be over to us, of course.
What were good. Some of the biggest challenges that you found when you started your show? Like, what was the process of going through that for you?
So, The biggest challenge for me has been like the tech side of things. I really spent... So I'd set myself a bunch of challenges for like 2025. I told myself that I wanted to do all these different things, and podcasting was not one of them. It was something that like just happened by accident, and then I was all like, oh shit, what do I do? So I spent a lot of time on YouTube looking at videos, trying to figure out, you know, what kind of equipment do I need? How do I like record this? What kind of computer do I need? Like, I didn't have a laptop, so I had to buy a laptop, and you know, all these different things about editing and where to get music from and sound effects and how to do all of that stuff. That's been like the really challenging part. And then of course, as soon as you go onto YouTube, you see all these people, like whenever you do a how-to video, and they're always like, oh yeah, well, you know, you need this like super expensive piece of equipment, and you know. And then I was like, okay, dude, I'm getting way ahead of myself here. Oh, those are cool. I'm getting way ahead of myself here when it comes to all of this stuff. I just need to sit down and put out something, even if it's a giant piece of shit, so that people can listen to it, and then I can say, okay, good, I did it. I overcame this fear of doing it, and now I can get better at that process going along. And I feel like now, because I'm trying to do a YouTube channel as well, and at some point I'd like to do like a combination like podcast YouTube channel, so like you can watch if you enjoy doing that for some reason, or you know, you can just listen to my sweet sultry voice. And but it's challenging because like to me, editing out all the little ums and ahs and all that kind of stuff, and then I'm like, how do I do that so that when you're watching the video, it doesn't like get out of sync, like I'm in some sort of like old school Asian action movie, kung fu style, like I will defeat you, you know. Just so I don't think you guys are doing this on video, but just for your audience, I was doing mouth actions and then, you know, doing the actual poor dubbing noise.
Yeah. I think
cursed pictures from the archives.
Oh, I do.
Yeah, those are some pretty rad pictures we got there.
I can explain them later.
I don't know what's going on with this stuff that's coming out of the pipe here on this guy, but that looks like it's a bad situation.
Very also, quickly then, that was no Nazis in Valhalla, so we were fighting Nazis as Norse.
Nice.
Vikings.
Norse Viking warriors. There you go. Listen, and yeah,
Vikings. Anybody kicking Nazis' asses anywhere, that's a hit in my books.
Oh, it was absolutely hilarious. I think it's your turn next, Jeff.
Oh yeah, question? Sorry.
Yeah,
I was lost in the
memories.
Memories. The Hitler killing memories, the best kind. So speaking of the worst part of podcasting, what kind of editing and post production do you go through?
Mostly I have the Audacity, and so I gather all my clips up together. I put everything together. Usually I do it in maybe like two shots. So I'll have, the first one where I get all my callers together. I'll listen to what they have to say, and then I'll, you know, jot down a bunch of notes, kind of respond to what they're saying, and then I'll edit it at the same time, like as I'm listening. And then once I have that whole section done, then I'll usually go into my main topic. And then once I've got the main topic done, then I'll go and I'll edit that just like that. And I kind of do it all, like edit as I go along. I don't know. I don't really know what the fuck I'm doing, so.
Does anyone here?
You know, but that's the thing that I've already been... Somebody told me that. I said, I don't know what I'm doing. And like, we don't know what we're doing either. And I'm like, okay, well, let's... Hopefully this accident turns out nice.
Yeah.
Just take a stab in the dark. So it'll be anyone else. So we know you've only kind of really just started this, but anyone that's just starting, what advice would you give them? Because you give plenty of excellent advice for like running games and such, but what about starting their own show? What advice would you give for that?
So the advice that I give anybody for, and first of all, thank you very much for the compliment. I really appreciate that. I honestly worry that the things that I say on the show are, I try not to be cliche. I mean, sometimes it's hard to get away from that. But I try to sell it from the heart and do what works for me and what does, and let people know what doesn't work for me. But that's just me. But I think like the common thread that's been running through my show so far, and if I had to like hang my season, if I had to make this a season, it would be to just do it. If you're waiting for a sign, if you're waiting for something to happen for you to get better or for it to be good, no matter what it is, it's not going to happen until you do it. You have to take that first step, and if you fall, that's okay. I think that we've been conditioned in life to be afraid to fail, and we don't see that the failure is where the biggest learning comes from. And so like one of my biggest examples of that is how I speak really broken French, but I went to school for a year full time because of where I live, because I needed to learn the language. And you sound like a freaking idiot when you talk and you don't always, I still sound like an idiot, but people are always like, no, Jason, it's cool. You're cool. You sound fine. We understand what you're saying. But I feel very, very self-conscious about what it is that I'm saying. And so it's easy to take that and feel self-conscious about anything that you're doing. Putting yourself out onto the internet is scary. Even though probably nobody's watching or listening, you always have that feeling like everybody is judging you and listening and looking. And to me, the biggest thing is whatever it is, just do it. And eventually you're going to make the strides that you need to get better. And I feel like that's been my journey so far. That's been my truth, is that, you know, my show has incrementally improved. And not because I feel like somebody else is judging that my show is getting better, but more because that's what I feel. And I think that's the only person that you need to impress at the end of the day is, did I do better today than I did yesterday? And even if I didn't, it's okay. I've got tomorrow, and tomorrow will be another chance for me to try to bring it up to that next level. Sometimes we're plateaued, but you know, if you keep pushing, eventually you're going to make that leap that you need to put yourself at a new point in your journey.
Sounds dude, good.
Preach it.
Thanks, man. Honestly. I feel really strongly about that. I never talked about this on my show, but my father-in-law had a lot of faults, and he passed away like maybe a year or so ago. But the biggest thing that I took away from this guy was that he was not afraid to do anything. Like, this guy didn't have like a university degree. He decided one day, like, he was part of like a search and rescue thing that was just like a local group where he would teach like first aid and survival, like finding people lost and whatever. But it wasn't anything like accredited. It was just like a volunteer sort of thing in the town. And then one day he was like, you know, I like doing this stuff. He found some sort of NGO group and ended up going to like Africa, and then ended up becoming like a county director for like, you know, refugees and building houses and finding water and, you know, all those things that happen to people that get displaced in like wars and whatever. And I'm talking about like all the shit places, you know, like, so, you know, times during Rwanda and Africa, Iraq and Pakistan, all sorts of places like that. And I'm like, this guy, he wasn't afraid of anything. Like, he had a boat. He was like, yeah, one day I'm just gonna get this boat fixed and I'm gonna sail around the earth. And it was like, this dude never had a real, quote unquote, real job, like what we've all been sort of trained to think, like, okay, we're gonna grow up, I'm gonna go to school, I'm gonna get married, buy a house, have kids, do the like the thing. He lived the most unconventional lifestyle. And so I said, why am I putting limits on myself? Why do any of us put these limits on ourselves? Like, let's just, you got one life to live. Maybe this is gonna be something, you know, maybe it's not. Like, this could just be a fun little hobby for now, but, you know, like, if you don't experience it, if you don't try it, how do you know? So.
Yeah, damn right. So. Yeah. Have you ever. Oh, hold on. Reading. Have you collaborated with other podcasters or creators, and who would you like to get on the show for yourself?
So I have been on a couple of other podcasts. One of them was while I had my show, and two of them were just before I started my show, but they gave me the real encouragement to start. So one of them, like I mentioned already, was Roleplay Rescue by Che Webster. And then another one was The GMologist Presents, which is a, the dude, his name's Carl Rodriguez. He's based out of Texas, I think San Antonio. And so he's got a YouTube channel and he's got his show. And another one, who this guy is like super prolific in his podcasting, is the Nerds RPG Variety Cast by Jason Connerly. And he has a lot of people on his show to discuss like books, movies, role-playing stuff. He covers like the real gamut of material related to like nerddom. If I could have somebody on my show, so I definitely want to be doing interviews at some point in the future. I would love to have, so I'm a Canadian, so one of the people that I would absolutely love to have on my show would be Ed Greenwood, creator of the Forgotten Realms. But not like, this guy's been on like tons of people's shows, and I've heard him talk about how he created the Forgotten Realms and kind of his life growing up and all that kind of stuff. But the things that I would love to ask him would be like his game mastering. I don't feel like you ever hear him talk about how he runs his games and like the kind of like how he creates his NPCs and his villains and his plots and all these different kinds of things. Like, I love the creativity that he has when it comes to the world of the realms, but what I've always found more interesting when it comes to gaming is the game master side. Like, what goes on in that twisted mind as you're like putting your game together, and the thoughts that go behind the decisions that you made at the time that you made those decisions. So hearing like what, because it always sounds like a soap opera. Like, everything that I've heard about his game sounds like a freaking soap opera. And I'm like, that sounds like the coolest freaking game to ever be in. So like, and I hate to say, I don't want to like knock on wood, but it's like, he's getting up there. You know, like, he's not going to be around forever. And, you know, like, you got this thing, like, now you got all these old school people and they're like all going, oh, Gary Gygax actually ran his game like this and he said these things. And it's like, okay, Gary's dead, dude. Like, we only have the, like, historical record. I mean, we do have some of the things that he said, but it's like, we can't go and ask him the question. You know, we can't actually go and get a real answer about certain things. And I think that a lot of people, like, the way they think that D&D is supposed to be played is probably completely wrong. So it would be nice to get the, like, the record straight, you know, from the man, from the mouth itself, and hear what he has to say about it. And I think that would be the kind of interviews that I would like to do with other people. There's some other gamers out there, like Sly Flourish. I mean, he has his own show and he has his own like YouTube podcasts that he does, and he's, you know, he talks about D&D 5e all the time. But it would be nice to talk to him about sitting at the table and, you know, like having a game master chat, because he gives a lot of advice, you know. But I it's like Mike. That's his real name is Mike. Be like, Mike, come on, let's cut the facade. Let's get behind that. Let's see the man. Let's see the game master behind the Sly Flourish and really get to know you and, you know, the kind of game that you run and what you're thinking. So that's some of the people, but honestly, so some of the other kind of people who I'd like to talk to are just the regular Joe. So I have some of the people that I play with, right now, there's, my friend Carl D, who I met through, Che's Discord for Roleplay Rescue. He's the one that's been running, he's been running Mothership for us, and he's been running the play by post using Karen. And like, that's the kind of guy, like that's the person that I want to reach, like my audience, right? I want to reach the regular everyman gamer, you know. Everybody talks about like the, what's it, Matt Mercer, right? Like, yeah. he's a celebrity. Chris Perkins is a celebrity. Like, these guys are a celebrity in our, like, our little pond, right? But like, these, yeah, I would like to talk to those people and hear about them. But the reality is that there's a lot more regular everymans, or every person I should say, out there who maybe their ideas and how they approach the game are much more impactful and informative, because I think that's how you grow as a game master, is to have those ideas that come from more unconventional ways of thinking, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and there's the thing too with the like big name, especially D&D players like Matt Mercer and his group, they're all professional voice actors. Dimension 20 with Bryn and Lee Mulligan, they're professional comedians. So a lot of people can think, oh, if my game isn't as good as, or as funny as, or as polished as, or as engaging as these big well-known things, it's no good. But like, these guys have made a career out of doing that. Can't
exactly
by that mark.
Yeah, no, that's a high watermark to reach. And I don't think that it's I don't think it encourages you to want to try when you see that kind of stuff. You know, when you run a game at your own table with your own friends, like, you're scared shitless sometimes. Like, I don't know about you guys, but I know for myself, I've had games where I wanted to cancel it at the last minute because I was so scared of like screwing it up. And then I'm like, at the end of my session, every time my players will be like, I'm like, okay guys, I hope you had a great time. I hope you enjoyed today's session. I wasn't sure how it was going to go. I didn't think it was going to be that good, but I had a really good time. And they're like, dude, can you shut the hell up? Like, you say this every week and we always have fun. Stop talking like that. And then I'm like, you're right. I gotta have some more positive self-talk. I'm like,
Matt, anything seeming familiar?
I can't agree with you more. That's me in a nutshell. Every bloody time I run this season, I've been like, "Ah, oh, this is."
Is anyone having fun? Please.
Yeah.
And we are. It's every time.
It's crazy, right? That kind of pressure with your friends. You're with your friends. Like, that shouldn't. You shouldn't. It shouldn't be the case, and yet it is so often. So to me, I think that's the important thing. It's like, listen. Not to say that the bar shouldn't be set at a certain place, but, you know, the game that I think we're expecting in our heads isn't exactly the game that you should hope for, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Learn to have your expectations at an actual reasonable level, rather than thinking of the professionals. Yeah. So I think we'll wrap this up for now. Where can people find you, and what would you like to plug, good sir?
So you can now find me on Blue Sky. If for some reason you'd like to call in, you can go to my SpeakPipe. And let me see if I can find my address here. Now I'm making you do work. Hold on. Okay, so... yeah, so my SpeakPipe is www.speakpipe.com/thedungeonplunger. And my email is dungeonplunger@gmail.com. And my show is the Dungeon Plunger podcast, which you can find on all reputable and probably some disreputable podcast distributors. And yeah, I don't have anything to plug. Oh, and I'm also on YouTube. But right now I only have like the one video of my solo play, and it's for Shadow Dark, and hopefully next week I should have the second episode finished so that people can see that, and hopefully I'll be able to try out some other settings and different ideas. I had an idea that I was really curious about doing, where basically playing like a detective in a Call of Cthulhu, like, modern scenario kind of thing, where I kind of wanted to do a little experiment. I'm thinking maybe I might do it just as a podcast, like a side podcast thing, where I kind of, like, go through my playing of it and then overdub the sort of detective talking like you would in a noir sort of drama style. Like, there I was sitting in my office when the dame walked in. And kind of taking it from there. But just kind of trying to do, I don't know, sort of like a combination audio drama role-playing kind of thing. But that's, I'm still working out the details on how to do something like that. So, but yeah, please listen. Please feel free to call in. That's, I feel like, what makes the show special is when people share their thoughts and opinions. And so far, nobody said anything mean. But I'm ready if people want to say some... Yeah, I'm sure. But, yeah. It's been a lot of fun. And I've been really enjoying it. And it's things like, you know, chatting with you guys that makes it a really amazing experience. So thank you so much for having me on your show. You guys have been very, very generous. And I feel like I'm a nobody. So for you guys to have me on is it feels special.
Hey, we're all nobodies here. If we group together, maybe somebody will become someone.
Well, you guys are three seasons deep, so you feel like you're celebrities to me.
Oh God, no. No, thank you very much for joining us. It has actually been a genuine pleasure chatting with you. And yeah, anyone listening, go and find this man's show. It is incredible. Honestly, go and give it a listen. And yeah, this has been A Pint of Cthulhu, signing off. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.
Take care.
Stop the recording right there.